This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Sears leaves it up top. Morris saves it, gets it back. Sears, number 10!
Insanity. Insanity last night with the Bama game over BYU and Mark Sears. I think scores 33 or 34 and has 30 of those points coming off three-pointers. You just heard that. Look, man, Sweet 16 is full bore right now. We're going to get into more of the Atlanta Braves talk here in just a couple of minutes.
Good, if you want to wait, some new takes.
I was going to say, if you want to continue to weigh in on that, at 929 Morning Shift, at MPJohnson79, at SquidBilly929. You know, we're talking Braves and all things bullpen, Brian Snicker, some of the moves made. But before we get there, let's, rehash a little bit of last night with the, the first day of the Sweet 16. Now, tonight you do have Ole Miss, Michigan State in Michigan and Auburn that'll be going down at State Farm Arena. And I went to break and I was like, hey, shout out to all the Michigan State people that are in town. I don't know why it just feels like I know a lot of Ole Miss people that live in Atlanta, so I didn't feel the need to actually welcome them to town. But if you are in from Oxford or whatever else, welcome to town. Happy to have you. And Auburn, obviously, being just down the street, that's a whole other conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be a good night of basketball. Ole Miss and Michigan State get you started at 7:09 right there on CBS. Kentucky-Tennessee just promises to be a majestic matchup between those two programs, Michigan and Auburn at 9:39, and then Purdue-Houston will finish it up after 10 o'clock tonight.
Don't we have a former Auburn hoops player in our fantasy, our NASCAR fantasy?
Yes, we do, actually.
Is he coming to town to watch the game?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, sometimes he sneaks around in here.
If he's not in town, we should meet up with him and have a cold beer.
His name is Jimbo, and I got to tell you, he has a really interesting story that I've never been able to dive in too deep with him, but he was essentially one of those guys that was like a player, but he was a manager, like kind of like half walk-on, half manager, and then they went into the tournament one year, and they needed him because of an injury. And he actually got to suit up for Auburn and play in the NCAA tournament because he had ridden the wave for a little bit. So
Florida literally had a guy that got into the end of the game last night.
I saw that.
And he makes a basket. It was a good basket and everything, blah, blah, blah. And he they're like, oh, you know, interesting story. He was a manager for 2 years.
Yes.
And now he's made the squad, yep. And he got in, and now he's scored a Sweet 16 bucket.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with our buddy
that's
Jimbo.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool stuff, nonetheless. And now a really highly respected high school basketball coach over in the state of Alabama. So another cool thing.
Last night, to me, the best game of the night was Texas Tech Arkansas. Arkansas has, I think, a 6-point lead at one point late, 72-66. Tech comes back. They end up sending it to overtime. And then Arkansas misses the game tire slash would have been a game winner at the buzzer. And Texas Tech, a 3 seed, 85-83 over Arkansas, who was a 10 seed. They will play Florida in the first game Saturday night to decide who gets the first spot in the Final Four. That side of the bracket would play the side of the bracket that's down here in the South, which is Auburn, Michigan, Michigan State, and
Ole Miss. Yeah.
And so could have an SEC side of the bracket if everything worked out on that side.
Yep.
Florida has had to play every matchup that the game that decided who they played. They've gotten the highest seed of every one of them.
Yeah, 8, chalk 9, all the way on their
UConn,
path.
Then Maryland played the 13 seed, 4 seed Maryland played the 13, Maryland won, and then the 3 seed Texas Tech plays, beats the 10 seed Arkansas. But, you know, Duke, they let Arizona back in the game, but they pretty much it was kind of handily done. They didn't really have much issue with Arizona.
Yeah, I'm curious to get your take on this because you're a Florida fan. I'm a Bama guy. Which one of those two teams, Florida against Texas Tech or Alabama against Duke, do you feel better about in those given situations? Because I know that sometimes when you're a fan of a team, like, you don't feel as good. And I know that Florida is a 6.5-point favorite and Bama is a 6.5-point dog. But after Bama's showing against BYU, I'm like, you know, the fan comes out of you, especially the basketball fan of me. I'm like, the sun is always rising on the football team, but it's always setting on the basketball team. And I look at Bama basketball and I'm like, used up all their threes last night. No way they're going to be that wet again from downtown.
My grandfather, when I would watch baseball with him, he would say the same thing. Like, the Braves get a big lead, it'd be like 10-2, and they're still hitting. He's like, better save some of those hits for tomorrow. Yeah,
exactly.
And
it's a much less, not that you're not going to go on a heater, Grandpa. You know what I mean? Maybe they're just getting hot.
I mean, so it's funny. But I always feel better about your squad, anybody else's squad, because I have no skin in the game over there.
Yes.
However, I would tell you that Duke would worry me because of they're not just Cooper Flagg. They're a little bit more than Cooper Flagg. They do have a good team. And Alabama has struggled at times against the better teams. Now, they did roll against Auburn in Auburn.
Yeah, the last week of the season.
Almost hit Jordan-Hare, but that probably wouldn't be right. But in with Florida, to me, I think Florida's depth is the only team, the teams that really scare me. Now, Florida could lose Texas Tech. There's no doubt. But the teams that really scare me is Auburn and Duke for Florida. But as far as depth wise, Florida,
two pretty good reasons. Yeah.
Florida is as deep. They are as deep, if not deeper, than any team in the tournament.
Yeah, that'll be some interesting matchups to watch as we follow it through. I want to switch back over to the Braves really quick for the rest of this segment. Opening day loss. I was hyped up yesterday about opening day, and I'll be the first one to say it. They did this thing on FanDuel Sports Network where Andrew Jones kind of did this lead into the broadcast, and he's talking about, you know, people sleeping on you and doing all this underdog kind of stuff. And, you know, Andrew Jones, they did this whole, like, pregame video. And I was like, I mean, you're talking about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, and I'm standing up in my basement area, like, with my, you know, big TV in front of me. And I'm like, dude, I'm ready to run through a wall right now. Like, I'm ready to go. And, of course, the Braves get a first-run inning. Chris Sale gives up a couple of big hits, but it was pretty smooth nonetheless. Some interesting moments throughout the game. We talked a little bit a couple of segments ago about Hector Neris. I also want to get to the fact that there was an overturned call on Ozzie Albies on a double play that led to the Braves scoring a run. They were able to get one across.
Yeah.
There were so many moments, and that's one of them, where I felt like the Braves leaving runners on base, and we talked about that being a massive problem a couple of years ago, last year, I'm sorry, where the Braves were just leaving runners on base. And I knew at the time, even with the lead, when Chris Sale's still in the game, I'm looking at it going, dude, this is going to come back to bite you. You could have thrown a knockout blow with a clutch hit at any point here, and you're not able to get it across. And then eventually you have the Manny Machado situation, the Jason Hayward stolen base, at least the Albies being out of position. And then you bring in Hector Neris, and everything completely falls apart. And the storyline all offseason about the bullpen not being added to actually reared its ugly head yesterday.
Yeah, not a good outing for Hector Neris in his first outing. I will say this. I thought the bats were pretty good yesterday. And you got to give the Padres credit. They took two home runs off the board with great defensive plays. And this game could have looked a lot different. I mean, it could have been complete. It really could have been 7-4 the other way if those balls go out. So one outing is not the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, I agree.
You've got to remember that. The reason there is outrage, and I am not downplaying it, so hear me out, because sometimes I'll try to reason and be the voice of reason, believe it or not, and I get attacked. So here's what I'm saying. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's one game. It's one outing. But I understand the outrage because it was you lose guys like A.J. Minter, right? And, you know, Jimenez is gone for the season, and you don't do really a lot to replace it. You know, you feel like you put Band-Aid over a freaking 6-inch gash that you need stitches for in reality. And you just put a Band-Aid over, and you're like, oh, it'll heal up eventually. But I go in and sign in Craig Kimbrell, who I do think, when he gets up here, can be very productive. But you let A.J. walk. And now you're trying to throw out there a guy like Hector Neris, who at this point in his career, he's 35, and he doesn't seem to be the guy he was in the past. That doesn't mean he's not going to have some very good outings, but it was a debacle for him yesterday. He signed late in camp, and it looked like a bad deal, or in spring training. However, we can't, to me, I need people to, I get, it's constant about, well, Snitker can't manage a bullpen. Well, I would challenge anyone to go watch a manager 162 games and watch them for do this for, what, 10 years now and say you love the way you think that they, you would have a problem with all these guys.
Is that how long he's been with the Braves?
He took over and I believe... It was like May of 15 he took over. I could be wrong.
Insane.
But I'm pretty sure he took over in like May of 15 or June of 15. It was very, because Freddie Gonzalez gets fired early in that season.
May 17th, 2016.
He was named the interim.
He was an interim, and then he got he became full-time October 11th, 2016.
There you go.
So 15th. No, he said 16th.
Yeah, May 17th, okay. May 17th, so this is 2016.
Yeah.
So this is his interim. 10th season, if you want to count the interim year.
Yeah.
We've seen him do it before. Look, they need depth. They can't add it. I've gotten some responses like, look, the bullpen is one of the easier groups you upgrade during the season. Don't disagree.
Touche.
There's normally some good moves made. Remember the deadline in 18, I want to say, he made like three moves, AA did, to strengthen the bullpen. He got Iglesias at the trade deadline, I believe in 22. So it's not, or maybe it was 20, well, it was 22, I believe. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they can't upgrade this. But it is, there is a right for fans to be upset with what they saw yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. And we're going to have Grant McCauley on later on today. We've got Evan Washburn coming. Rusty Manziel is going to join us at 8 o'clock and has some really big news to share and talk about, if you're a Falcons fan, about some of the goings-on in Athens here recently. So you'll make sure you want to hear that at 8 o'clock. But, yeah, well, I got questions for Grant McCauley. We'll talk to him later in the show about the Hector Neris and where's Pierce Johnson and why Grant Holmes and everything else that was going on with the Braves yesterday.
Yeah, and guys, if you want to call in and tell us how you feel about it, you're more than welcome at 404-726-0929. Coming up next, there's a 2-round mock draft for the Falcons, and there are two guys that we're mocked to take that I don't think most of you have on your board at all. Tell you the who next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game, and
The Odyssey.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
App.
Okay.
Oh, snap.
What?
There's got to, Dylan, there's got to be a button back there where you can turn his microphone off when you need to. Just a straight up, like,
what?
Pause, mute, dump button, whatever. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, there is. I mean, I could
lift the lid on the emergency.
If I wanted to, I could silence Squid Billy, but why would I do that? He's bringing the good vibes.
I can see like fifth grade Dylon when this song came out with his glasses pushing him up on his nose and walking around going, yeah. What?
Can I tell y'all this song and 1-2 step with Sierra and Missy? Yeah. I was doing handstands, man, doing handstands and trying to be a fifth grade break dancer when they would let me. We used to have I did after school back in fifth grade, and they would let us sometimes like dance and just do, you know, different stuff to just, you know, get rid of all of our energy. And man, they would play this song. Couldn't tell me nothing.
You were
man.
Putting the vibes out.
I mean, I thought I was a Jabberwocky. You, like,
what'd you say?
I thought I was a Jabberwocky.
A Jabberwocky, bro. I haven't heard the term Jabberwocky in years.
Thought I could get me a spot on somebody's America's Best Dance Crew.
Man, I have not heard the term Jabberwocky in literal years.
Speaking of turning mics off.
Yeah. See, that's what you get for trying to be nice to that man.
I know. He turned on me that quick.
Yeah, hey, man, it's a harsh world out there, Dylon.
Hey, I guess so.
I mean, I almost stepped up to an old Irish man because I thought he was going to say something to me. Turned out to be the nicest guy I saw all day. Right. What a nice gentleman that guy was.
Speaking of expecting the best, before we get to In the Huddle, just a second, and talk about this this mock draft and some of the people that are coming to the Falcons. I got to tell you, man, I used to, so my kids are 4.5 and almost 3. My daughter's almost 3. We packed them in there pretty good. I'm going to a birthday party at a buddy's house for his kid, who I think is turning, you know, I don't know, 5, 2, I don't know, something like that.
Which one? He's got like 9.
I know. That's why I don't know what the birthday number is. I don't know which kid it is. But we're going to his house tomorrow. And it was just crazy how I had this realization yesterday that I used to hate, like when my kids were newborns, I hated going to birthday parties for kids. Because it was like, you know, you had to throw them in the stroller and they're just going to lay there like a potato and you have to hold them the whole time. They're probably going to cry, probably change a diaper, whatever. And now that my kids are like of toddler age, like birthday parties are the absolute best. I'm like, yeah, hey, run up. Hey, take your shoes off before you get in the jumpy house. Yeah, have a good one. And I'm like, hey, man, where's the beer at? You know, where's the open cooler at? Where's the bar?
Let me tell you something. It's all fun and games until a brawl breaks out in the jump house.
Yeah, that's fine. If a brawl breaks out in the – look, survival of the fittest in there. You know what I mean?
I think your kid's set for success in the jumpy house.
And the best thing is that my son would definitely protect my daughter in the jumpy house. He'd be like, yo, don't touch sissy, he'd throw hands.
Your kid versus others is essentially like the Undertaker versus like X-Pac.
Until a seven-year-old rolls up and tries him, I think he'll be fine. You know what I mean?
I don't think he's going to have any trouble. He's taller than most seven-year-olds. I don't think it's an issue at 4. He's like towering over sixth graders.
You know what
you're
mean? Like, gonna have to learn at some point. So we'll see. I'm actually stoked about a birthday party tomorrow.
And you know, I don't mean that in a negative way. I kid, but your kid is tall. Like I
he's
saw
a big
like,
boy.
The truck show or whatever you went to a while back. That
oh god yeah.
We talked about. He's standing. He's standing with a truck or some kind of big piece of equipment.
Yep.
And I was like, that's. I don't know if I'd look that good again.
you're looking at the picture, going, I'm not sure the truck. I didn't know it was that small. Wait, the kid's just really big.
Do I stand that tall next to those tires?
Is he standing in the foreground of this photo?
Look, let's talk a little Falcons. Real quick, we touched on earlier, but the Falcons signed German-born kicker Lenny Craig. It's a 3-year deal from what I've heard. They saw him at the International Player Pathway Program Pro Day on Tuesday, and he apparently wooed all the scouts there so much that there became a bidding war. Coup off the right hip injury. I think Robbie Patterson is still there as well. Not sure. I think he's going to have a chance. He could come in and maybe compete. If not, I have a feeling he might be used on that practice squad spot that is an extra spot that you get if you have an international player in the pathway program. So I'm waiting for some clarity on that, but
I think it's interesting because honestly, I thought when we started coming down to, you know, the league year and everything else, I was looking at Koo's numbers. I think he's due like $5 million this year, and that's, let's be honest, he didn't earn that money when you talk about his performance a year ago, and I know there's injuries and everything else, but I thought at some point, and I even pointed to the fact that I wouldn't be shocked before this signing if they had actually used one of those seventh round picks on a kicker. To be able to come in and make kind of the rookie minimum and, you know, go about it the way you would with a seventh-round draft pick. I'm not sure what, you know, Young Waiku's future is here, but I know that this is a step towards saying, all right, you need to do better or it's going to be over quickly.
$12 million cap space. That's plenty to sign the rookie stuff. And don't make no mistake, they could absolutely decide that Craig wins the job or something, or Crew loses it, maybe even to Patterson, and they could cut him. That's frees up. Now, that's frees up money because that cap situation, I have to go back and look at it, but I'm pretty sure they'll get cap relief off of Crew.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that's one of those deals where you're going to gain a little bit of money and. You know, it's not, and it frees you up in other ways. See, that's what people got to remember. That's extra money to use during the year. So if they cut him post June 1st, it would free up $4.25 million. So
it's not going to sound the same after an extra point when everybody goes, Craig. No, it's not going to quite hit as hard as Coop.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
All right. Matt Miller of ESPN, not a huge fan of him, but he does. He's a mock draft guy. I don't like all of his stuff. Sometimes I think his takes are, yeah. But he has in a 2-round mock draft, the Falcons at 15, taking Jahad Campbell from the University.
Alabama.
That's right. He can, look, this. I think Campbell is really more of a middle linebacker because I think he's got sideline to sideline speed. He can run.
He's very rangy.
He can be used. He can be used similar to Jalen Walker in that outside. I just don't think he's as polished.
He's definitely not as polished of a pass rusher as Jalen Walker. And I don't necessarily believe Jalen Walker is an incredibly polished pass rusher, but he does do multiple things and does multiple things well. Jalen Walker, and Caden Ellis doesn't do it on the edge as much as people think, but Jalen Walker to me is a lot like Caden Ellis, where he's just as useful walked up as he is off the ball. Jahad Campbell is just one of those guys you want to stay off the ball, because he's so rangy moving sideline to sideline that you know that he can track guys down in the flat, split some of the blocks, you know, and screens and things like that, and make plays out wide. So there is some upside there. He's not for me. Jahad Campbell's not what Jalen Walker is, but I'm not sure that, you know, any other off-ball linebacker in this draft is what Jalen Walker is athletically. So
yeah.
We'll see.
You could make an argument Jalen Walker is the best defensive player in this draft after Travis Hunter. And
Carter would be at the top for me.
Yeah, well, I know, but I'm just saying you can make an argument based on some of the things that Jalen Walker's done. They're doing different things, but it doesn't take away the skill set of how good Jalen Walker was and against SEC teams too.
And this goes back to a conversation we've had a number of times this month with the signing of Divine Diablo, what Caden Ellis means, how they value Caden Ellis possibly, because remember we talked about Caden Ellis being a guy you can move money around on. He is entering the final, I believe it's going to be the final year of his contract coming up, and they didn't decide to do that. And I'm not saying Caden Ellis is a perfect linebacker. He's not, you know, a pro bowler, but he's been very, very good, and the output's been very, very good. But I know that they felt like they needed to redo that linebacker room, and it seems like the signing of Divine Diablo, who is a 4-4 guy, if you wanted to mock a linebacker the way Matt Miller does here, I don't think anybody would be terribly upset if you got more athletic defensively. But again, I don't think that we expect it, seeing as how you just signed a guy and you have Caden Ellis and you drafted Jaden Tran last year.
You need to re-sign Caden. You need to send Caden Ellis soon because I think he's on the year 3 of a 3-year deal.
Is there a chance, though, that they don't value him as highly as we do?
Well,
is there a chance that he fits in the Paul Warlow mold?
You might find that answer out very quickly if Jahad Campbell is drafted.
I'll say this:
your three best players on defense last year were Caden Ellis, Jesse Bates, and AJ Terrell. And there is the end. Period.
I agree.
And there's no argument. Because you can talk to 15 guys in the NFL, and I think all that cover the league, and they would, or the team, they would tell you yes, them. The other guy they have is Alfred Collins, defensive tackle. Now he's listed. He is a guy, 6'6", 330. Oh, he is a big man.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
But he can play everywhere on the line.
Yeah.
He can slide inside. He can slide outside. You can play him with that one technique. You can do everything with him. He's got upside. I understand where people put pushback, but it's hard to be upset with both of these picks if you're a Falcons guy because they are addressing needs that you need.
There's no doubt about it. And I think when you look at Well, just look at the last couple of years of defensive tackles that have come out of Texas. You know, he was behind Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy. And he's like, I'm 6'5 and a half. This guy's 6'6, 332. I'm 6'5 and a half. Most people consider me a big person. I never even approached 332. Like, not even, I don't even think I ever got within 15 pounds of that. So this is a big old Jesse right there in the middle that can plug things up. And I don't think there's any secret about it. And I know we'll have Mr. Yo in the Twitter in just a minute. They have to get bigger up front on defense. There is zero question. You got shoved around so many times last year in terms of short yardage situations, obvious rundowns. Eddie Goldman is not there. He was one of your best run defenders. So this would not be a shocking pick to me.
And my source finally got back to me and basically said, I'm telling you from what I gathered, there will be an open competition.
Yeah.
Kicker. Lenny Craig has a real shot to come in here and win that job. He better do better than he did last year, though, in the German league or whatever.
Yeah,
or
I was
going
to say 11 of 16.
Just real quick,
again,
back to y'all's point about Alfred Collins. The Falcons definitely could use some what we like to call big biscuit eaters.
Yeah, big biscuit eaters. A biscuit shy of 350.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
It's a guy that's two axe handles wide.
That's him.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. When we come back, we'll get a Fair Foul Friday with Mike Dutt. We're also going to touch on the Hawks, man. Just a ugly night down in Miami. The Hawks get another L. Dylan hosts Fair Foul Friday. Stick with us. It's Squid Billy, Mikey P. Dylan on the ones and two. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mikey P. Mike Johnson hanging out with Squid Billy. Dylan, like I said, behind the glass on the ones and twos. Happy Friday morning. It is a Fair Foul Friday on Mic'd Up. Dylan will be hosting today. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Welcome to town, everybody that's in town for the Sweet 16 matchup down at State Farm. Been talking about all the March Madness all day today and the Braves home opener, obviously. Keeping an eye on. We will visit with Grant McCauley coming up at 8:40. We're going to get to just a smidgen of Hawks here in just a second, but I got to tell you, Rusty Manziel's out in the bullpen, and he's going to be hanging out with us at 8 o'clock, so just over 15 minutes. If you are a Georgia fan, if you are a Falcons fan, you are not going to want to miss what Rusty has to say about some of this news coming out of Athens the last couple of days. So my head was spinning, and so that's going to be a really, really interesting conversation with him. To touch on here in a bit.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
Yeah. Not happy either. And I know that some people are trust me, you're just going to want to pay attention.
I know what's happening. I know what the plan is.
Yes.
Let's just put it this way. And I'm not worried yet, but I am concerned.
But the ship is starting to point that direction.
When you play golf and you're hitting the ball good and you hit like one bad shot and then you hit another one that's a little bit shaky and you're like, uh-oh, am I starting to get in a funk?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so the Hawks go down to the Heat last night down in Miami. They lose by 10 points, 122 to 112. Tyler Hero was the hero of the game for the Miami Heat, scores 36. Three rebounds, four assists for him. The Heat shot at an extremely high clip last night, and that's kind of the nature of the game. The Hawks were not bad offensively. The problem is the Hawks, from the bits and pieces of the game I was able to piece together last night, terrible on the offensive boards, terrible just getting rebounds in general. Second chance points seemed like were non-existent, and it seemed like they were all over the place for the Miami Heat. So even when Miami was not knocking down shots, Atlanta not doing a great job of crashing the boards. Mo Gay did not play last night, which is a little bit of a head scratcher. I think he started the last 10 or 11 in a row. But it's an upsetting loss due to the fact of the time of year and how you're kind of getting down to these seeds. But I don't think it's a shocker of a loss. Miami's starting to play pretty well, as are a number of other teams that, that you're competing with in that play-in. But, yeah, I mean, it just was what it was. It was not one of those games that you're like, oh, this is ridiculous. Miami shot the ball well. Tyler Hero was very, very good, and he was the man of the match last night. Trae Young gets 29, 2, and 12. Not a shocking stat line for him once again. Yeah.
Well, luckily for the Hawks, the Magic loss. And so you stayed a half a game up in the seventh spot. But, I mean, these are games that are – this is too straight now that they were both games – You should win.
Yeah.
And you can win. And so it's frustrating, but you got to get back on track. Look, The Hawks right now, the plan, the goal is because the Bucks have now fallen below the Pistons for that sixth seed. But you're six, you're 5.5 games out of that. You're not, you ain't get that. That's probably not gonna happen. So just hang on to that seven seed and get to the playoffs, and then take care of business.
Speaking of the Bucks, the Hawks face off against Milwaukee at Milwaukee. That'll be this Sunday. You can hear that right here on 929 The Game. Pregame at 6:30. Tip off at 7. So you'll make sure you want to pay attention.
See, that's
to that.
A chance. That's a chance that you get that right there. That's a chance.
That is. That's going to be your chance. And there's a few games like that down the stretch that are very winnable. So hopefully, the Hawks can kind of take care of business. Speaking of taking care of business, Dylon has a very spicy Fair Foul set up for us. Let's go ahead and hit that thing. It's Mic'd Up. It's Fair Foul Friday. Today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. You know what? I always talk about bringing the herd to Buffalo's Cafe. I might just do that this weekend. Head on over to Buffalo's Cafe with the kids, get some chicken wings, watch some college basketball, even though some of those games pass my kids' bedtime. But
Where is there one in the...
There's one up near you, yeah, up in Woodstock area.
We can meet there after the birthday party. We could watch the LA Day games.
You want to do that? I think that might be what needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in for some wings.
Buffalo's so solid.
They just bring you wings at your beckoning call, right?
Yeah, you just kind of... And we had this conversation about either, waving, two-finger wave. Hey, buddy! You don't do that at Buffalo's Cafe, evidently, but, it's just one of those... It's almost like, look, I like to consider Buffalo's Cafe one of those places. It's like a Brazilian steakhouse where you either had the red or the green. And if it's green, they just keep bringing you chicken wings. Matter of fact, can we design a sports bar like that? Where you just get the green chip up and they just keep bringing you beer and wings.
But for wings, yeah.
I'm so solid on that. All right, Dylon, hey, what we got, man?
All right, let's start with this one. We got to start with the Atlanta Braves opening day yesterday. Obviously, you guys have been talking about it all day. Bullpen struggles, fair or foul. The bullpen will be the reason the Braves do not win the World Series.
I mean, I'm going to say foul. There's so many other reasons why this team might falter. Hey, guys, by the way,
ding.
We don't know what the back end of this rotation looks like yet. We don't know what Acuña is going to come back and look like. We're one game in. So to think that Ozzie Albies is going to hit 162 home runs this year and Austin Riley is going to also do the same is the same as to think that the bullpen is going to give up, what's 4 times 162? Whatever it is, it's not necessarily going to be the case. Let's relax and see where this team settles. We will know what this team is probably close to mid-June.
I'm with you. I'm leaning towards foul, but I'm definitely on the fair side of you because, there's no doubt it's a weakness on the team. You can look top to bottom of the lineup and side from Orlando Arcia right now. It's like, okay, those guys can do damage. The pitching staff top to bottom, you don't really know what you have at the back end, but, yeah, those guys can do damage. We don't know right now what the back end of the bullpen looks like after one game because we didn't get to see them yesterday because the people in front of them falter. We didn't get to see Pierce Johnson or Raisel Iglesias. So I'm with you. It's foul, but at some point, either Hector Neris is going to have to throw well, Craig Kimbrell is going to have to come around, or you're going to have to start leaning on Dylan Lee a little bit harder in some of these situations.
It's almost
like they're not
locked into this roster the entire year.
No, they're not. They're not. And that's why I said foul, but I'm definitely on the fairer side of it than you are, I think.
162 times 4 is 648, by the way.
Thank you.
Ding.
Well, my point is that we don't know really anything about this team yet other than what we thought in the spring training, and it's one game in. So that's why I say foul on that. There's a multitude of reasons why they might not win the World Series.
All right,
in fact, 29 other teams factor into that as well.
Yeah, not the NFL. Go ahead, Dylon.
All right, we'll get back into the Falcons. We'll get into the Falcons here in just a second, but I did want to check out this because I actually thought this was pretty interesting. Today is National Black Forest Cake Day. If you don't know what that is, it is a layer of cake made out of cocoa powder, curry, and I don't even know how to say this other word, kirsch, and whipped cream with dark chocolate as a decoration. Does that sound good? Fair or foul? Black Forest Cake.
I'm looking it up right now.
I mean, it sounds good when you say Black Forest cake. When you start naming all these ingredients that I don't know, which is like, so then it loses.
It looks good,
it
too.
It loses its a little bit of an interest for me. So I don't know, though. I pulled it up.
Yeah,
and
I did, too. It looks solid.
It looks good. I mean, I would definitely try it.
Here's the thing, Dylan, and this is not to come at you, but, you go to a nice steakhouse, and you say, I want to see the dessert menu, and they go, hey, our bread pudding is topped with a delicious, glaze that's, like what you just did made me less hungry.
You're right.
Like, you're like, I'm not out of sight. It's curry or something like that.
Yeah,
not
right.
Really sure, and some cocoa powder. Yeah. But yeah, it sounds pretty good, huh?
I do agree with Mike. Like, you go to these places, and the way that
the way they describe
it's described,
it.
Oh, I'm just dude. Like, yeah, man, can I just have like two scoops of vanilla ice cream with as much Hershey's syrup as you can put on there.
Can like, you guys I go mean, whip up a brownie?
Drown it in Hershey's syrup and then serve it to me.
There you go.
That's funny.
I love it. All right, let's get back to the Falcons here. Fair foul. Falcons kicker will not be Younghoe Koo to start the season. The Falcons kicker will not be Younghoe Koo to start the season. Fair or foul?
I'm fair on this one all the way. I would be shocked if we get to week one and Younghoe Koo's the guy. It's from a money standpoint. It's from the kickers that I've talked to or at least listened to or paid attention to. He just has this swing, quote-unquote, with his leg, this leg motion that is just hard to replicate over a number of years. And I think we hit him in a golden era. But I'm not sure that he's ever going to replicate the success he had 3 and 4 years ago. And so we'll see what happens there. But money-wise, performance-wise, last year, I think the Falcons are probably ready to move on.
Well, I believe it's fair because you're going to have a real competition with three guys. I'm not saying that Koo can't because he's the one guy that we know has done it, and he was injured, and he can rebound. So, it's one of those deals where I'm not necessarily sold on it, but they're definitely going to have a full-range open competition, it looks like, especially if you're signing Mr. Krieg.
There you have it.
Or Krieg. Boom. Is it Krieg?
Might be Krieg.
Krieg would be so much more cool after the extra points.
Because it's German. But Dave Krieg spelled his name the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the German aspect of it makes it Krieg. But yeah. We'll find out soon enough. See. All right, let's get back to the Braves here. Reynaldo Lopez on the mound today for the Bravos. Game 2 out of 162. Fair or foul, Reynaldo Lopez will be an all-star again this season.
I'll go foul.
Ball, we'll start with you.
I'll go foul. I think that's tough. It's hard to be named an all-star, and he could be just slightly not as good as he was last year and still good enough for this team. So I'm just gonna go foul. I'm not trying to be a downer, but that's hard to replicate that.
Yeah, I'll play the Vegas odds on this one. How about that? And that's not to be a Debbie Downer, but when you're playing Vegas odds, you never count on somebody doing the best of their career twice in a row. All right. So when you had a career year last year, you don't count on that happening once again. I think he'll be very good for the Atlanta Braves, but saying he's gonna make the All-Star team, kind of at another level in terms of what we've seen so far this year and through spring training. So I'm fouling that one as well.
Fair or foul, let's move to the NCAA tournament. Fair or foul, you guys will conjure up some sort of wager here if and when Alabama and Florida meet.
Hey,
fair or foul, we can expect some sort of wager.
I was hinting at this earlier.
I think it's fair because someone's already not paid up their past debt from the last time.
I'm not going
Florida,
to buy Mio.
Florida mollywopped. Alabama.
Yeah. I've approached you twice about paying up my Mio debt.
Well,
you've said you don't have enough for me.
There's
so.
There's a whole bottle of the – you want the black cherry or
I didn't know you re-upped on your Red 40 die.
Yeah. Go in there and grab some. I'll knock it out.
I'll knock it out. So, but, yes, it's very fair. There will probably be a wager on the line if and when Florida and Bama face off.
And if they do face off again, that would be in the national championship.
Woo!
Based on the bracket. So
that would be huge. I hope that happens, man.
And we couldn't even watch
this for this show. I hope that happens.
Out, double check.
We won't even be able to, watch it together either.
Woo.
Well, that's true. Dang.
I'll be in the hospital. Well, and I won't be in the hospital, but I'll be at the hospital.
Tending to the hospital.
Let's actually build a bit upon that real quick. Let me get one more here. Fair or foul, the SEC gets at least two teams in the Final Four, at least two in the Final Four. Fair or foul?
Absolutely fair to me. There's just a lot of quality programs left. When you look at Bama, the way Bama played last night, I think Florida's very good. Obviously, Auburn being the overall one. Tennessee, yes, they're going to get at least two.
I'd say that that's fair. If you want to be Mr. Vegas, man, the odds say that's fair.
All right.
Nice work, Dylan.
That is fair or foul. Thanks for playing.
Boom.
All right, coming up next, we have a listen, this is going to be tough. If you're a Georgia fan and a Falcons fan, I might have some brutally bad news for you. Next, Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.